It's your boy BC, and it's bonus time on the State of Combat podcast on CBS Sports. Little MMA edition of the bonus chat, the interview special. Your boy, the Brian Campbell, coming at you. What do we have for you this Saturday? UFC 234. If you listened to the regular MMA edition featuring Brandon Wise as myself, we got you fired up this week for what should be a good card with two sexy middleweight matchups atop the marquee down under Melbourne, Australia. Well, now we've got the four participants involved and some bonus chance you simply won't want to miss. Yes, it's sponsored, underwritten, and brought to you, of course, by that performance enhancing audio. And of course, you know, I want you to get out there and let's say pay it forward with a 5-star review if you like what you hear today. But what do we have today? The four most important names at UFC 234 as middleweight champion Robert Whittaker stops by to explain why he's just a regular guy. Call him Bobby Knuckles if you want, but that's not what he identifies with. Robert Whittaker, as normal a dude as one can imagine, he just so happens to be on fire at the moment, one of the pound-for-pound best fighters, headlining a card Saturday in his own backyard. We're, of course, also going to chat with his opponent, Kelvin Gastelum, the former Ultimate Fighter winner. Tells a little old-school bounty hunting stories for Gastelum. Tells you why he doesn't need a nickname and why he plans to ruin the UFC's best-laid plans for Saturday night and beyond, and not just an upset win over Robert Whittaker, but ruining what could be an all-oceanic showdown moving forward for if Whittaker advances out of Australia and, of course, New Zealand's Israel Adesanya, one of the biggest stars, red hot, on the rise in the sport. Yeah, BC talked to him, too. You're going to hear a colorful, as always, chat with the last style bender ahead of Saturday's bout against the legend himself, Anderson Silva. And then we come right back to you with the Spider, reliving the biggest moments of his career and asking Andy Silva straight up, can you do this again? Do you have another trick up your sleeve on the level of defeating Israel Adesanya? A lot of good stuff to come this Saturday. A lot of good stuff to come in this show, in these four chats coming your way. Before we get to that, a word from our friends and sponsors for you to enjoy on the back end, of course. Get ready for some combat audio. Fierce, exciting, fun, entertaining, all of the above. It's Whittaker, it's Gastelum, it's Adesanya and Silva. And then on the back end, we out. Coming right up. Enjoy.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Let me start off right here. How can you best describe what going 10 rounds in a row with Yoel Romero feels like?
Pain in the ass.
I mean, it was a successful pain in the ass, but I can only imagine.
Yeah, no, it was a hard fight. Definitely, both were hard fights. You know, hard fought, hard won.
What'd you learn about yourself through those two fights?
That I'm not going away. You know, he had 10 rounds to do his best, and I still came out on top. You know, I'm as tough as they come.
No, we learned that full well. I mean, both fights you had to sit out a little bit to rest up from injuries, but you certainly proved yourself. Now, you learned a lot about yourself in that process, but you just went through a little bit different process, and that's coaching against Kelvin Gastelum in The Ultimate Fighter. Obviously, you weren't rolling around and sparring with each other, but you had some moments on camera. What'd you learn from that process, if anything, that you can take into the cage with you?
I didn't learn anything, to be honest.
Is there something about Kelvin's demeanor? Did you end up liking the guy? How did that process go?
He's a respectful guy. You know, I say that he's here, he said out of mine. And honestly, that's all I could have asked for.
Are you, you're a pretty straight guy from the standpoint that you don't mess around with things like trash talk or getting yourself fired up through anger to fight somebody. Has it always been that way? Always been easy to separate the personal from business?
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. That's just who I am. I've never been big on the whole letting your emotions get in the way of doing what you need to do.
All right, let's break down this fight from a tactical standpoint. Betting, the odds makers are liking you in this one. A lot of the critics the same way. How live of an underdog is Kelvin Gastelum in your eyes?
He's not an underdog at all. He's probably one of the most dangerous opponents I've fought. And, I'm going into this fight knowing full well how dangerous he is.
What would you say he does best? What's the biggest strength he brings to the table?
He's got pop in his left and he's very well-rounded. He's young, tough, and hungry. You know, that's a dangerous mix.
You know, this is obviously going to be a big night for the middleweight division on Saturday night. What are your thoughts on this co-main event bout between Silva and Adesanya?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm very, very interested in watching to see how it unfolds.
Do you have a prediction or is there a certain fighter, if they win, that's better for you?
No, I'm just going to sit on the fence and watch.
If you were a betting man, who do you like here? Come on, I know you like one over the other.
I think Adesanya would have been a hard fight for Anderson Silva in his prime. And Anderson Silva, safe to say, that he's not in his prime anymore.
You know, talk to me about the sort of culture going on right now, the fight culture in Australia and New Zealand. For someone from the U.S. like me, who isn't on the ground and can feel this, what's the fan swell like? What's the reaction right now to the sport and the fact that we have both Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya as two of the rising guys in all of UFC?
Yeah, Australian mixed martial artists are just coming out of the woodworks now, and it is great. You know, we've always loved fighting in our countries, and it is just blowing out of control.
I mean, are you at a point where you're walking around, going to the grocery store? It's like a rock star. It's like the Beatles. You need to take cover.
Nah, it's not that bad. Not at all.
How much are you hearing, though, in your travels about how much the fans seem to want the idea of this all-oceanic showdown, the idea of you and Adesanya for not just the keys to the middleweight division, but we're talking about becoming the number one guy, you know, in terms of who's got next in the sport potentially?
No idea. I haven't given it any thought. You know, I think I need to give Kelvin the respect he deserves and just focus on him.
All right, I've seen a little back and forth between you and Israel. Him, a little trash talk saying he's the reason why this card is sold out so quick, why it could move so much product. Did that get under your skin at all?
Not at all. Thank you.
All right. Just like that. It's that easy. But what do you feel from your standpoint? You're the headliner here, the champion. You're coming back to your home country. What's at stake for you in this fight from a business standpoint, from the idea of being a pay-per-view A-side moving forward?
I'm absolutely ecstatic to be able to headline a card and defend my belt here at home. It's a milestone. It's a huge milestone for me. And, I'm making history.
Do you feel that pressure, though, that it's like, UFC's always, always in search of stars, right? You know, you can never get enough of the guys who can move product on a level of a Conor McGregor or a Ronda Rousey before him. Do you feel that kind of pressure that, oh, I got to sell a certain amount for this card so I can enter that category?
No, I don't, because, every fight's hard. There's enough pressures involved in mixed martial arts and fighting as it is. So I am very comfortable with being who I am and going in there and doing what I do.
All right. Well, it seems like Robert Whittaker, great guy, but people are trying to put nicknames on you left and right. This Bobby Knuckles thing is trying to follow you around. You down with this?
Yeah, it is what it is. If everyone wants to call me that, they can. Like, I can't control people.
Well, do you like it? Is it a problem at all?
No, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I won't be changing my official nickname, but it's not bad.
All right, all right. Now, talk to me a little bit about Australian culture here. We saw another UFC fighter, Tuivasa, rock out with the shoey. And then the more I ask my listeners of my MMA podcast from Down Under, they say some gross things can be put in a shoe, and your people will just drink that up. You part of this? Are you down with the shoey?
No, it's gross. And I think throwing all of us, as in your people, do it is wrong. We don't all do it. Only a select few.
You're right. You people has always been a horrible phrase to use. I take that back to all the great people of Australia and beyond. What's going on here? People spitting and choosing. I'm glad to hear that the great Bobby Knuckles is like, I got to draw the line somewhere here. All right, folks.
No, it's gross. Never will, never have.
Love it. All right. When you made the switch to middleweight, you just took off. You started to reach your potential and then some. You're 8-0. You're the champion. Did anything change other than the idea that it's just easier to make this weight?
That's it. Well with the easier weight cuts came like a different mentality during the camps. It wasn't about just burning through calories trying to lose weight. It was about trying to get better. And, you know, once I did that, I was much better.
How were you able to advance so quickly in the mental game? Because we see a lot of guys, you know, come up the ranks and they look really good. They look like you. And then, you know, you suffer a loss here and there. How were you able to enter fights against the Jacarés, against the Yoel Romeros, and just stay so mentally tough?
It's like, it's just who I am. I have a great team, a great family. And they support me unconditionally, so I don't put a lot of weight or value into the outcomes of the fights. I put a lot of weight into the training leading into the fights and the training that I'll do afterwards.
All right. Well, you put together these wins, people start talking about you, and now, you know, or maybe not now, maybe, you know, after the first Romero fight, certainly after the second one, you're a pound-for-pound respected guy. I see a lot of lists. You're 4, 5, 6. I mean, to us nerds in the journalism game, that's currency. That's how we rank the guys. How much do you get into that business where you say, hey, maybe I win 2 or 3 more, I'm considered the best in the world?
No, I don't. I don't put any weight into it, to be honest. I don't even think about it.
All right. Look, yeah, you're a solid guy. I can't crack you here. You come, you know, it's not personal. It's business. You go in there to win fights and go home with the family. Is it that easy?
Yeah, that's it. It's just who I am.
All right. Tell me this then. When did you first know this was a profession for you? This was something you could do, that you had that it factor to be a UFC champion?
You know, I didn't think I could become the champion until, I don't know, well into my middleweight run. So, I've always known I could fight. Since the earliest days, I knew I could fight. But I didn't really make ideas of making this a career until much later in my career. Once it had already happened, more or less.
So are you as in awe of your success as some of the fans, some of the critics?
No, you know, I don't put a lot of weight into it because I need to you know, I need to take center. I need to realize that I'm not special. I'm just good at a particular skill set, and that's it.
What keeps you so humble?
One is just reinforcing the fact that exactly what I just said. You know, I'm not doing anything special. People just like watching me throw down, which is great. You know, I'm particularly good at it. But another thing is, it's like I take a wider perspective on things. You know, like with my family, for instance, my sons do not give a crap that I'm the champ or that I fight or anything. You know, they just want ice blocks. You know, and you know, when you start looking into it like that, you realize like it doesn't really matter.
I love it. I love to hear you break it down like that. So, with that mindset intact, what kind of goals do you have that go beyond Kelvin Gastelum? You know, what does motivate you? If it's not the fame, if it's maybe not the money, is it the idea of setting a title defense record? What is it in the back of your mind that's pushing you?
This is what I do. This is my path. This is who I am. It's, it's just as simple as that. It is just who I am.
I love it. I love it. Don't be anybody you're not. Don't be Bobby Knuckles if you're not Bobby Knuckles. Be Robert Whittaker because you're doing pretty damn well as Robert Whittaker. All right, let me close on this. I think this fight is going to be a lot better than people realize. What's it going to look like in there? Is it going to be bombs away? What's Whittaker Gastelum going to play out like?
I think we're going to feel for each other, but he's going to try and put me away. He has to. It's the only way he'll win. He's going to try and get in, close the gap, land his left. He has to. But I'm quick. I move, and I hit pretty hard myself, so we'll have to wait and see.
And the hero, the legacy of the great Robert Whittaker will continue. Hey, you ever bro out with Jeff Horn? I cover a lot of boxing, too. This guy Jeff Horn came out of nowhere and became an Australian star. I feel like you guys could hang out a little bit here.
No, I've never met him.
All right. Hey, Robert, great talking to you, buddy. Best of luck. Keep the focus. Keep the straight and narrow. You're doing great. Take care.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ask you this. Look, you came on the scene 2013, tough middleweight champion. I'm sure you had big dreams and goals. 5 years later, when you consider the path that it took for you to get here, how close is that in what you envisioned in your head?
Shoot, not even close. Just because, you know, you dream of one day getting to this point and it being a big deal and having all these emotions, but it's not quite like I thought it would be. You know, I've had some pretty big fights in my career, and it kind of just feels like that. It feels like a big fight, obviously. But I've been in this position before. You know, I've traveled to other countries before. I've fought against that countryman that I fought in the country of, and I've been in this position, so it feels all too familiar. And this is just another one. This is just another one. You know, what I do in the octagon is what I do every day. And I think the belt will just be the consequence.
Well, this journey has, you know, featured two different divisions, a couple losses from you that you've bounced back from. What's the biggest thing you learned? Because I know when you're coming out of tough, all on fire, thinking you're going to package wins together and get a title shot, You got to go backwards to go forwards in a lot of ways. So, what'd you learn from your losses on the road to this title shot that has most affected you?
Yeah, well, it's a lot to it's there's a lot to learn from your losses, you know. And each loss molded me in a different way, and I feel like I needed those things to happen for me to be able to mold myself into the person that I am now. And to be able to receive this fight now, you know, like you said, when you win the Ultimate Fighter, I expect to stack a couple wins together and get a title shot, and it'd be a fairy tale ending. But it really quite wasn't like that, was it? My life has been pretty public since I won the Ultimate Fighter. My lows, my highs have been pretty public. So it's just a matter of learning from those. And you know, getting the good experiences, the bad experiences, and putting them all together, and here we are now fighting for the middleweight world title. I just feel like those setbacks have molded me into the person I am now, and I feel like now is the time that I'm mature enough to be able to handle these things. I'm mature enough to be able to make the right decisions now, and now is the time.
Absolutely. And look, obviously the two middleweight fights this Saturday in Australia atop this card are incredibly sexy. But I think a lot of people are already jumping the gun and saying, hey, man, can you imagine what Whittaker Adesanya is going to look like if they both win? What do you feel when you hear that? And are you hearing that? Are you hearing people already putting the win next to champion Robert Whittaker's column?
Yeah, I see a lot of people writing me out, and man, this is not the last time, nor the first, this is not the first time, nor the last time that it'll happen. I mean, I've been counted out the majority of my career You know, nothing's ever been given to me. Nothing's ever been handed to me. I've had to take my opportunities. I've had to take these fights and rise up to every occasion. You know, obviously I've had some setbacks, but, you know, for the most part, I've rose up to every occasion. And people are still counting me out. But and like I said, this is not the first time.
What are they missing?
People are going to be surprised.
Why are people counting you out? What are they missing? What are the odds makers not seeing right now?
I don't know. I think people have a misconception of me because of my past, missing weight. People think I'm undisciplined. I don't look as chiseled and as muscular as the other fighters. I feel that way. You know, that's why people write me off. And that's okay to me, man. I'm not in here to be a model or anything like that. I'm here to fight and win fights and be world champion. That's how I feel. That's what I think.
When was the moment you first knew you could do this? You could fight for a living. Like, I may be different from the other people around me. I can go somewhere with this.
Well, winning the Ultimate Fighter definitely gave me that confidence. You know what I mean? It definitely gave me the confidence, knowing, like, man, I guess I'm pretty good at this fighting thing, you know. But before that, obviously, it was what I wanted to do. But when I won the Ultimate Fighter, it was like when it really gave me the confidence to really pursue this.
You got to go full circle and obviously coach the Ultimate Fighter opposite Whitaker. I know your interactions ultimately were limited coaching against him, but can you glean anything from that? Is there a look? Is there something he said? What can you pull from that experience that you can use in the cage?
Just that he's a competitor. Just that he's a competitor. He doesn't like losing. He's a competitor. And that's all I took away. You know, he was very serious. And so was I. We didn't want to be around each other more than we had to. There was just this tension the whole time between him and I. You know, it was very respectful, very civilized. But there was this energy and this tension between us the entire time. You know, we know we're going to end up facing each other. And he's got what I want. And he, you know, there's just, you can't help but have that tension.
Do you have to not like him to be at your best when you enter that cage?
No. No, I don't dislike Rob. You know, I think he's a great guy. I think he's a family man. By the looks of it, he's a great family man. He's a hard worker, et cetera, et cetera. This is nothing personal towards Rob. You know, this is all business. He's got, the only thing that makes it personal is he's got what I want, which is that belt.
Understandable here. When you look at the matchup from a tactical standpoint, what do you do better than Robert Whitaker?
You know, it's just little intangibles that once you get in the cage with me, you feel, you know, you feel how fast I am, you feel my hands, how hard they hit, you feel my wrestling, how strong I can grab. It's just little intangibles that not a lot of people know until or realize until they get in the octagon with me.
How much do you expect the two Yoel Romero fights for Whitaker, which were, you know, fight of the year contenders, incredible title bouts, but obviously it led to Robert being out extended periods, 8 months and 11 months after each fight. How much can that potentially take out of a guy who really is right in his athletic prime right now entering this fight?
Yeah, I'm sure it does take a lot on the body. I mean, I had five fights in 18 months, and that took a toll on my body. And so after the Jacare fight, I took some time off, was able to heal up. And so it does take a toll. You know, I'm sure those wars with Yoel took a toll on his body. But we've had some time to rest up and heal up, and I'm expecting the best Rob Whitaker there is. You know, we announced the fight 7 months ago, and I'm sure he's all healed up.
What's the biggest challenge when it comes to the idea of fighting on enemy turf in Australia here? I mean, obviously, you're a professional. This will not be an issue, but what is the biggest challenge in doing this?
The freaking 20-hour plane ride over is the biggest issue, I guess. Other than that, I mean, it just costs a lot of money to be over here. You know, I've been here 2 weeks, costing a lot of money. But other than that, I mean, I've been in this position before where I go into somebody else's country. I fight the countrymen and I beat them. You know what I mean? I've been to Brazil. I've been to China. Well, I didn't fight a Chinese in China, but, you know, I traveled and fought all over the world. So this is nothing out of the ordinary for me. I've been here 2 weeks, you know, adjusting to the time change, adjusting to Australia. So I have no problem with it. I think the pressure is actually on Rob, just because he, you know, people are expecting him to win. He's got his whole family here. He's got to deal with all that pressure, not me.
You look at that co-main event, Israel Adesanya, maybe the next big thing in the division versus the legend, Anderson Silva. If you win on Saturday night and you're the new middleweight champion, you'll be facing the winner most likely. Who wins that fight on Saturday?
Oh, my. That one's hard for me to pick. Just you know, both of them are so good. Both of them are so versatile. Every indication says that Israel will win. He's the future, is what everybody's saying. But Anderson Silva is still Anderson Silva. You know, I wouldn't count him out just yet.
Very interesting. 43, but you mentioned it. He is the legend for a reason. Hey, you used to go by the Legend Killer. Is that still an active nickname for you?
I never once called myself that.
What's the story with that?
I guess when I was, you know, when I fought Vitor, I fought Tim, I fought, who was it? And then I was going to fight Anderson Silva. People were calling me that, but I never once said I was that.
Do you need a nickname? Did you ever have one? What's the deal with this?
Yeah, no, I've never had a nickname. People be calling me Meanie Kane. People call me, yeah, different nicknames, but I've never once had called myself anything other than Kelvin Gastelum.
All right. Well, there'll be a partisan crowd here, obviously supporting Whitaker and Melbourne when this fight happens. Do you care about the whole idea? Obviously, this isn't pro wrestling, but when it comes to marketing the UFC, there's good guys, there's bad guys, there's heels and baby faces. Do you identify ever with the idea of being the heel, going in there, taking the booze coming at you, in this case, coming out with that championship?
I mean, I don't see myself as a heel. I just think they're cheering for their countrymen. I mean, I guess if you step out of that, and you look from the outside in, I guess I could be looked at as the heel, but I don't think of myself as that. But at the same time, you know, I'm coming in to ruin his plans. You know, I'm coming into his country, and I'm going to ruin his plans. And but I don't really play into that. No, I'm not one of those guys that plays into that. Never have I. No.
I like the way you term that. You said come in to ruin his plans. Is there part of you that feels like the UFC's best laid plans is a Whitaker Adesanya fight?
I'm not sure what the UFC plans, but I'm sure everybody would like to see that. You know, I'm sure the UFC would promote that pretty greatly. So yeah, I see myself as somebody who ruins plans.
Before we let you go, get back to your training here. You have a bail bondsman story. This is so intriguing to me. Before you became a fighter, you were, you know, UFC's version of Dog the Bounty Hunter here. What do you got for us here? What was that like? That's insane.
Yeah, it was an interesting job. I did that before I got on the Ultimate Fighter for about 2.5 years. You know, it's a small town in Yuma, Arizona. It's a small town, so nothing crazy happens. The craziest thing I think, one time was we rolled up on these two brothers that were out. You know, we bailed them out on our bond. It was a high bond. It was like more than $50,000 bond. And so now they skipped their court date. And so now the judge issued a warrant out for their arrest, because they missed the court date. And so now there's a warrant out. So now we have the right to go arrest these guys. And now these guys are on the run. And so somehow, some way, my boss was able to get the girlfriend of one of the brothers to come into the office and basically set them up. You know, the plan was for her to drive up to a gas station. While the two brothers were inside the car, she would go inside the gas station and pay, and we would roll up on them as soon as she got out of the car and into the gas station. And, you know, fair. And then that's exactly what happened. You know what I mean? I was one of the drivers. We had bulletproof vests on. We had guns on our hips. There was about three or four cars that rolled up on the vehicle of the brothers. And, you know, these guys are dangerous criminals. So you don't know what to expect. You don't know if they have knives. You don't know if they have guns. So we have our bulletproof vests. We have guns drawn. And we're telling these guys to get out of the car. They're under arrest, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I mean, it felt like a drug bust. It was funny because it felt like a drug bust, you know. Well, you know, got the heart pumping a little bit, the adrenaline pumping through the body a little bit, because you don't know what to expect.
You gotta have ice water in your veins. I mean, I have to assume you're more nervous for that than you are looking across at Robert Whittaker.
Well, that's life-threatening, you know, and what we do is life-threatening too, but it's a different kind of challenge, that's for sure. You know, I don't get put in those kind of positions very often, whereas in fighting, I'm doing this every day.
Absolutely. Hey, man, great chat with you. Thanks so much for sharing some old stories with us. Wish you luck. 234 Melbourne, the middleweight championship of the world. This guy's a live dog, Kelvin Gastelum. Does not need a nickname. Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate that.
I want to start off right here, Spider, and ask you this. I don't think I've ever seen you this happy. Ever. Ever. You're a happy guy. But I feel like the last few months, the interviews I've seen lately, you're glowing with happiness. What's going on here, Anderson?
So, I'm very happy, you know. I'm very excited to fight again, you know. And I'm working hard for this fight. And I'm very excited and very happy to doing something special for my fans, you know. That's my goal now.
When was the last time you felt you were in a fight that was this dangerous and felt this important?
So, you know, all my fight is danger, and I feel in the same happy. And I need to thank you, God, every single fight, because God gives me a great opportunity for coming here and training hard for 4 months, 6 months, and coming here to do my best. I'm so happy.
Was there anyone on your team or in your family that said, Anderson, you're 43. Do you really want to fight the style bender?
No, definitely not. Everybody gives me a lot of support, and I'm so happy. You know, this event happened, the result, I'm happy because I love my job. I love fight, and I train a lot for this. I'm very lucky. And, wow, imagine it. The old fighters in this category is the beast. It's a good fighter. And I'm 43, and I'm here and fight the same level for these guys. I'm so happy.
That's great. I love to hear that. So we have to ask you, what do you see in Israel Adesanya that you can exploit? What gives you the confidence that you're ready to take on such a dangerous guy?
So, you know, he's a great fighter. He's have a good skills, you know. I train hard for doing my best. Let's go see when they go inside the cage.
How many more tricks do you have left, Anderson, that we haven't seen?
I have a lot.
Do you have to be more economical at this age, coming off of a long layoff, or have you felt just as young as ever during training camp?
So, of course, you need to using your mind and a good strategy, a lot of experience inside the cage. Doesn't matter how old you are, you need to stay completely focused. You know, it's not different for me.
When you look at this fight, what's the major motivation for you? Is it that opportunity for a world title? What is getting you into the gym every day and keeping you excited and ready to go here?
You know, the big motivation for this fight is my heart. And I'm staying here. I'm so lucky, you know, because I continue doing something special for my fans. That's my great inspiration for staying here.
How have you been able to stay so young at heart, to keep your body in such amazing condition where you don't look 43 at all by any means?
Absolutely. That's the example I try to pass for my fans and try to pass for anybody, you know?
All right. If you defeat Israel Adesanya, a fighter who has a style a lot like yours, what would it mean to you at this point?
So, in this point in my life, it's the same I talk to you, I'm very lucky because Israel is a young, he's a good fighter, have a great future in this sport, and I'm so happy, I'm so lucky for God giving me one more chance for come back and do the special fight for myself.
Absolutely. I would love to figure out, Anderson, who you think is going to win the main event on Saturday, Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum, knowing that you could be facing the winner.
Wow. This is a great fight, you know. I'm very excited for watching this fight.
But who wins, Anderson?
I don't know. That's very difficult for Keith Delfino, you know. It's two big guys, two big fighters. You know, let's go watching. I believe in this is an amazing show for anybody.
Absolutely. Now, Anderson, if you win on Saturday, it adds another moment to a list of amazing, legendary moments in your career. And I have five favorite ones, and I would love if you could react. Tell me your favorite memory from these. I want to start at your UFC debut, Chris Lieben, 49 seconds. What's the first thing you think of when you look back at that fight?
Wow. It's a great moment in my life, you know. I never think about how much the people love this fight. And, wow, I'm so happy, you know, because it's my first fight in UFC, it's my first good performance in UFC. I'm so, so, so happy when I remember this fight, you know. And when I people talking about this fight, I'm so happy because that's the point to continue my legacy, you know.
Were you nervous that night because it was your first UFC fight?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm excited, but not nervous.
Do you ever get nervous again as a professional?
In this point in my career, you don't think about that. You stay relaxed in training and do your best for your fans, you know? It's not about nervous or something there. Just relax and happy.
All right, Anderson, take me to what I thought was your best performance. Rich Franklin, UFC 64, you win the championship for the first time. Is that, let's be honest, is that the best performance of your career?
Wow. Rich is an amazing guy. I'm very lucky to Rich give me the opportunity for fight for the belt, you know. But in my mind, my first fight in Japan for title belt in Choto is the best fight in my life. Because it's the first time I'm fight for the belt, and the first fight I fight for my country.
Absolutely.
His first world title.
For sure, for sure. Please tell me about the front kick that knocked out Vitor Belfort. How long had you planned a strike like that for the right opportunity?
I trained a lot this week. I trained this week for 4 months, you know, and special moments in my life.
Amazing, amazing. How about Forrest Griffin? You looked like a video game in that fight. Anderson, you were not human. Not human at all that night. It was a virtuoso performance.
Wow. You know, I believe in the, when you train hard, when you stay happy, in your mind, you stay strong, you do everything inside the cage. It's a moment magic you have in your life, in your body, and inside the cage, you know?
In a fight like that, do you feel like sometimes that you're not even making the decisions, that they're just happening, you're just reacting to what you see in front of you?
Well, I just think about how much Forrest Griffin is the best fight in this category, is fight for the best guys in the category, and I try to use my mind for help me to attack, for doing this perfect attack, and finish the fight fast, you know?
Absolutely. The final memory I want to ask you about is the first win against Chael Sonnen. I have to ask you, Anderson, about your mental focus to be in a fight where you were losing it for so long and then save it at the end. How mentally tough do you need to be to do that?
So, you know, you need to stay completely focused, in completely connection for your mind, you know, and you believe in yourself, because when you go inside the cage, it doesn't matter how much you're training, how much you call to help you, but inside the cage, it's just you and you. You need to take care about your mind, take care about your body, and stay healthy and strong.
And how much was your ribs hurting you that night, Anderson? Because when I found out that fact, it blows my mind that you were able to fight through a broken rib like that.
Wow. You know, it was very tough, because I remember I can't breathe in this. When I move, man, when I try to push, I can't breathe. You know, I know it's the stupid decision in my life, but, you know, that's me. I'm a fighter, and I try to working hard and do all my energy when I go inside the cage.
Hey, real quick, just as Ed, another real, you know, interesting fact on that is, you know, that Sunday before that fight, we went to the hospital, and the doctors at the hospital did not want him to fight, did not want to, told him he couldn't fight. He had like 3 to 4 ribs that all the cartilage in between the ribs were like fractured and broke, all that stuff. He had trouble breathing. So that week when we got back from the hospital, he didn't even move around. He laid in bed and until we left to go to Oakland. So he pretty much laid in bed from Saturday all the way till Tuesday, until we got up to go to Oakland. So
wow.
It definitely was something that was pretty intense as far as the pain goes.
Anderson, I think that's why the fans love you so much, that no matter what, you're going to go out there and give your best. So I have to go back again once more to that question I asked you earlier. Do you have one more trick for your fans on Saturday against Adesanya? One more amazing performance in you.
Oh, yeah, my brother. Yes, absolutely. I'm very confident about this fight, you know. And I have on my special skills, and I have my heart, and the more important, I stay completely focused for this fight. I'm so happy to be here again, you know, and I sometimes like just looking back to my entire life inside UFC and just say, oh my God, thank you again, because I'm here, I'm fighting again, and God gave me a great opportunity to fight in here in Australia for my friends. And let's go. Let's go. And thank you, God, for everything. And let's do it.
Yes, he's back. Trust me, he's back. Anderson, great talking to you. Best of luck, sir. Always really a pleasure. I appreciate it.
No, thank you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Fired the hell up for this fight. You against the damn legend, Anderson Silva. I got off the horn with him about an hour ago. I said, look, Spider, you sure you want to take this fight at 43? You got any tricks left up that sleeve? Are you of that same mindset here, Izzy, that he might taste the sauce here. He might not like it.
Initially he said no to the fight, and I was a little bit disappointed because I felt like, you know, maybe he doesn't have it anymore. But then he came back and said yes. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, look at this. Like, people keep giving him shit for being old, but no one gives Robert Whittaker shit for beating up a 42-year-old Yoel Romero twice. And they fought twice, 10 rounds, and it was war, you know. So, but no one gives, you know, any of them any beef about it. But Silva is just a guy who's been bored, I feel, in his last few fights, and I want to excite him again. So I'm glad he took this fight.
When you're going against a guy coming off of this kind of layoff, this age, obviously he's a different 43-year-old than your average guy, because we're talking about a legend. Is there part of you that's checking yourself so that you don't overlook him, that you don't, you know, fall prey to this and fall into the spider web?
Hey, this ain't my first rodeo, my man. This ain't my first rodeo. So I've been doing this for a long time. They tell you never overlook anyone, or never look past them, but they never tell you about how you should have put them on a pedestal. So he's just another human being at the end of the day. He's just another guy who he bleeds. If you cut him, he cries. If you hurt him. So yeah, I'm not looking past him, and I'm not looking over him. I'm looking through him.
How do you sum up at this point in your career when you know, I made the mention on my podcast, this is the last time we'll probably ever see Adesanya not in a main event. I mean, you're about to take off if you're for real. If you're the guy that you look like you are, you're about to take off. What would it mean to get the rub from a guy like Anderson Silva?
For me, this means more to me than the title fight. You know, the title fight's already destined. It's already written in my history books. But, I know what I'm destined for. I know what I'm supposed to do in this game, and I look forward to it. I look forward to this fight. This fight means way, way, way more to me than the title fight. So when I get in the cage with him, I really want to show off, and afterwards I can really just embrace the feel of it.
How much fandom for you was there in your way up watching Anderson Silva? I mean, your styles are similar in very specific ways, but, you know, were you a Spider super fan, 10 years ago?
100%. I still was at UFC 200. I didn't really care if he was fighting Cormier on, like, 3 days' notice. I was just like, I don't care. I've always been a stan for Spider-Man. So, yeah, it doesn't, like, now it's just at the end of it. Look, I fought guys who were close to me. I fought my friends before in tournaments and, like, knocked them out. So to fight this guy who I've never, ever met before, just because I looked up to him doesn't mean, like, I'm not going to give him these hands. I said it. Just because I'm a fan doesn't mean you can't catch these hands.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, put on your analyst hat here. Break down what this main event's going to look like. Robert Whittaker, defending champion, against Kelvin Gastelum.
I want Robert to win that fight. Kelvin's got a whole arsenal of weapons, you know, black belt in jiu-jitsu, I believe, good wrestling, and his striking has gotten better and better every time he steps in the cage. Same with Robert Whittaker, you know, he's been training with Craig Jones with his jiu-jitsu. He's a guy that, he's got really good offense. He might be lacking a little bit in the defense, but he can improve. He's a young kid, he's learning, so, yeah, I want Robert to win that fight.
What would it, give us a taste of what it would mean for that side of the world, for Australia, for New Zealand, to get a fight potentially. And I'm obviously not saying you're looking past Silva. I'm not saying he's looking past Gastelum. But if we get a fight like Whitaker, Adesanya, two guys in their physical primes, one of the two could be next, could really be the star of the sport. What would that mean for that side of the world?
I'd be huge, you know. It's just only going to, MMA, regardless, is always going to rise in this part of the world. It's always going to be on the up and up. But, yeah, with the win like that, definitely going to elevate the profile of us, you know, the guys who are actually making moves in this game. And my teammates as well, Kai, Shane Young, Dan Hangman, and a few others in the, you know, in the works. They've been helping us with this camp. It's going to really inspire them to, you know, realize that, shit, we can really get this done. We can really, really get this done. So, yeah, I can't wait. Let's just get through this fight first, you know. I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Who's a bigger star right now in Australia and New Zealand? You?
Me. Dude, look at the countdown itself on YouTube. Numbers don't lie. Look at it. Like, the countdown, the whole countdown show, it's got a couple of 100,000 views. Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum's countdown, a couple of 100,000 views. My countdown is closing in on 1 million. So, I mean, my countdown was Silva. I think it's not just me. It's me and him. It's two great dance partners together. Two great dance partners together that it just feels like people want to watch this fight because they see what's happening. They see the feel of it. They see how it's playing out. And, yeah, they know what's up. The people know what's up.
Are you prepared, if you win this fight, for what this does for you from a brand standpoint, from a fame standpoint, from a pressure standpoint? I mean, if we're talking about you becoming the next big thing, this is the launching point.
I'm not the next big thing. I'm right now. I'm Mr. Right Now. So, yeah, it's already been happening. And this fight, once I win this fight, it's going to be bigger than all the other UFC fights I've had put together. And I'm just going to blow up. So, yeah, I'm ready. I've been prepped for this for so long, you know. So, yeah, this is just normal now. This is regular for me.
Wow. It's just real life. It's just tomorrow. It's just Saturday night to you.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. I'm down with that. How's this fight going to play out with Silva? We're going to see an all-time great striking affair? Someone going to bring it to the ground? What are your expectations?
I expect nothing. And with me, I'll advise you guys, expect the unexpected with me. Never expect anything from me. Only thing you can expect, one thing. There's only ever one thing you can always expect from me, and that's for me to bring my best and bring the fight. Anything else, don't expect me to stand up. Don't expect me to take it to the ground. Don't expect anything because you may disappoint yourself. But always expect I'm going to bring my best. And I can say one thing. I've never been in a boring fight in my life.
You plan on rushing the cage after the main event, making a statement?
I don't know. I'll see what happens. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I'll see. I might have just killed my legend, you know, so, yeah, I'll see how I feel after the fight.
All right, take me back real quick, UFC 230. Was there cage side in New York a spectacular performance against Derek Brunson? You did everything you said you would do. Is it getting easier? Is it getting easier than you think it'd be? Because that was supposed to be the fight you were potentially tested, solved a little bit, and it looked like easy work
for
you.
It was light work. Like I said, after the fight, I walk in the garden. So, I think it's just another, this is just like, I'm getting used to this, and that's because I've been prepped for this so long. So now I'm just like, okay, what next? But I still have to, you know, smell the roses, enjoy what I'm doing, look back at what I'm accomplishing. But yeah. It is. It's getting easier and easier. I'm getting more comfortable. Just tell these guys they got to beat me yesterday. If they want to beat me, they want to take me out, do it yesterday, because every single day I'm getting better.
Talk to me about the evolution of this mental strength, because there's obviously something special about you that goes beyond flashy striking, goes beyond the ability to dazzle on the microphone. Why are you different? Why are you walking into these situations and you already know what's going to happen?
You just have to believe in yourself, and it's because, you know, I grew up, like, in New Zealand, there's a culture of, like, not just New Zealand, but worldwide, but heavily in New Zealand, is a culture of like this tall puppy syndrome, you know, where people try and like, you don't, if you're good at something, you're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to express it, how good you are, because, you know, it might make some other people feel bad or whatever. I don't know. I never really bought into that. I always felt to me that, like, if you are good at something, say you're good at it, regardless of how anyone else might feel or how insecure they might feel. If someone can't handle the shine, you know, the shine that's coming off you, tell them to put their hater shades on and get out the way while you do work. So, yeah, for me, I'm just doing me. I'm just enjoying myself. And I've been prepping for this, like, every single aspect of the game, you know, like the highs, the lows, everything. I've seen a lot of people come into this game with high aspirations and then fall flat on their face or, you know, get caught up in the trap. And I can see now while I'm here so far how people can get caught up in this trap. But, yeah, I'm ready. All the variables, I'm ready.
What are you most in this for? Is it to be a world champion? Is it to be the greatest ever? Is it to make a ton of money? What's your motivation here?
Me, my motivation for fighting? It always changes depending on when you ask me. But for me, it's the belt is just part of it. It just goes with it. But yeah, for me, motivation would be right now to beat Anderson Silva. That's why I'm in this right now, in this moment, to beat Anderson Silva. And that means more to me than the world title.
You have a favorite Anderson Silva moment?
There's a few. One I can, off the top of my head, was when he triangle chill Sonnen, because that fight, I had faith to the last. I had faith all the way to the last round. I didn't lose faith even while he was, you know, getting his ass whooped. I was always like, come on, Anderson. I was sitting there right in front of my TV, just me alone, like watching this pay-per-view and just waiting like he was going to do something crazy, and he did. And I dropped to my knees yelling, and I was so emotional. And, yeah, even right now talking about it, I get chills because I remember how I felt. So, yeah, that's my favorite moment for Anderson Silva.
It's a crazy moment, especially when you consider the broken ribs he was fighting through and shouldn't have been, you know, which he admits now.
I remember I was telling people, like, look, he had a broken rib. There's no way he could have let him chill, taking him down. And I was just standing him for so long, and no one would believe me. But yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, he had that moment. He had the moment late against Cormier, of course, with that kick to the body, which Daniel, you know, has revealed. Yes, that hurt. Yes, I wanted to get away from him from there. I mean, you're not overlooking him. You know that you can have a wily guy in front of you, but, what are you expecting physically though? I mean, can he look like the guy from the Bisping fight 3 years ago? Is that a possibility? Has he faded from there? How do you even know?
Oh, Anderson's Anderson. He's still sharp. He's still a guy he's with it. You can't sleep on him, you know? So, yeah, I stay ready. I stay woke.
Will you have the crowd on your side despite his legendary status?
What was that?
Which side, where do you think the crowd will be leaning to?
I don't really care, to be honest. I think they're just fans of both of us. If you're a fan of Anderson, I mean, you can't not be a fan of me, but if you're not, I don't really care. I'm literally just going in there, minding my own business. I'm about to take your business.
Love it. All right, final question here. 1 year from now, all right? Take me there. Take me to February 6th, 2020. What's Israel Adesanya's career looking like?
I've already defended the belt once.
Wow. All right. Hey, we're just along for this ride, Stylebender. I mean, you're setting the trends here. We're witnessing, all right?
Buckle up. Grab some popcorn. You'll enjoy it.
All right, man. Best of luck. Go get them.